go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to our radio show called Go Rebuild My Church. My name is Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie, we're excited to be with you today as we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken by Jesus to St. Francis of Assisi, Go Rebuild My Church, and how this theme is relevant to the church today. Leslie and I have recently launched a lay apostolate called Encounter Jesus Discipleship Ministries. You can learn more about us and our passion for renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org. That's www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 12 years ago. And that is when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. And hopefully, through the ministry of this radio program, we can provide pathways for you as individuals as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal with us. If you're joining us for the first time, we just completed a series that focused on how we can be better prepared to share the gospel. It was a great series, Peter, that we walked through. Mm-hmm. Our theme verse for these broadcasts has been from 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared, and prepared with the word that we focused on, to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is within you. We covered a lot of ground, Peter. We talked about how to share your conversion story, how to recognize when to share your conversion story, which we called the open door, the concept of sowing seeds, and the power of storytelling. We also explored the new evangelization. You taught us what that meant and how we can work towards that in our churches, and why conversion, reconversion, and ongoing conversion are important for the renewal of the church.
Yes, and along with that, Leslie, next we learned about the centrality of this word, the kerygma, which is the Greek word for the preaching of the gospel, and how God calls each one of us to share that simple message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and how we're invited to say yes, like Mary said yes. We introduced the idea that Mary has been called now in the new evangelization, the star of the new evangelization. Lastly, we spent some time examining the Engel scale of stages to Christ, which described the different stages that we can be on in our journey to encounter Jesus.
I'm excited today, Peter, because we're going to introduce a new theme, the Great Commission, which has been called the mission statement of the church and how it applies to us personally.
Leslie, with that in mind, let me review how we ended our last broadcast. We ended the segment by mentioning the way Jesus trained his disciples and prepared them for the Great Commission. And we mentioned that Jesus used a method in training his disciples that had four key dynamics at work, and we mentioned those, but let me repeat those again. First of all, Jesus showed, and the key word there is showed, the disciples how to evangelize. We shared that a leader of an evangelization team should be able to say to, as he trains, do as I do. Secondly, when Jesus worked with his disciples, he told, and the key word there is told, the disciples both the motivation and the strategies behind what he did. We suggested that we read, digest, and internalize his call for laborers sent out to the harvest in Matthew 9. We spent some time around that those verses. So in the first two steps, we can say simply our show and tell. That's what Jesus was doing with his disciples. Thirdly, we see in the Gospels Jesus sending out on mission the 12 in Luke 9 and then the 70 in Luke 10. So that thirdly, he sent them out. And then fourthly, and we use that word deploy, he deployed the disciples and the 70. And then fourthly, in both instances, the 12 and then the 70, we're told both groups returned and reported to Jesus what they did. This fourth dynamic we're calling supervise. So here we have show, tell, deploy, and supervise. This is the job description for forming evangelization teams that we talked about last week. The leader of the team oversees this process. St. Francis of Assisi, who we reference often here, was a great example of implementing the Jesus model for discipleship formation.
Yes, and when we first looked at St. Francis, we learned that he formed a evangelization team also, and he received his call to form this team when he heard the gospel reading at Mass. It was about Jesus sending the 12 out to preach, and then he, as an evangelizer, taught his brothers the Jesus model. So I think, Peter, what you're suggesting to us is that we really can't improve on the Jesus model. Is that right?
Yes, rather than improving on it, then we need to strive to replicate it here in our culture and in this 21st century. So what I'd like to do as we move towards the Great Commission today, Leslie, is to read some verses in Acts chapter 1, written by St. Luke, verses 1 through 8. Listen to the scripture. In this book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up. After he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So there's several noteworthy things I think that are worth pointing out, Leslie, in those eight verses that I just read. And the first thing that I notice when I read that is that St. Luke points out that we should learn not only what Jesus taught, but what also he did. You know, a lot of times when we hear the Gospels, even read on Sundays and before or in the Liturgy of the Word, we think about we're listening to what Jesus taught, but also Luke wanted us to look at what Jesus did. And that's when we start getting into the whole thing of his evangelization and discipleship. Secondly, he commanded them through the Holy Spirit. This brings us to each of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in each, Jesus is speaking to them about going out as his witnesses to make disciples in those three synoptic Gospels. He goes on to tell them to wait to receive power from on high, and then they'll be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts. In weeks ahead, we're going to kind of break that down and make that practical for us. What is our Jerusalem and Judea? Finally, we could say that this is a summary of what my priest friend calls biblical Christianity, those eight verses.
Right. Peter and I recently had dinner with a friend who's a priest, and we were discussing some of the solutions needed to actually rebuild and renew the church, which is, of course, a theme of our radio show. And he summed up his thoughts by saying that we need to return to biblical Christianity.
So I love that simple emphasis, Leslie. That leads me to share some statistics about the Catholic Church in America that I recently discovered that will show us why we need to reintroduce the Great Commission to every Catholic Christian and every Catholic parish. Why don't we take a break at this point, Leslie, and when we come back, we'll look at some of those statistics.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our broadcast. Today we are discussing a key to rebuilding and renewing the American Catholic Church, and it starts with a return to biblical Christianity and rediscovering the Great Commission. Peter, before the break, you were going to reference some concerning statistics that highlight the need for this return to biblical Christianity.
So, Les, I came across these statistics just the other day, as a matter of fact, in preparing for our broadcast. And it was put together by the Barna Group, which is a fact-finding statistic group that researches churches and trends. And they've been going for 20 years, so they're pretty well established. And they charted evangelistic practices and attitudes for more than two decades. And the latest study sheds light on the gaps between evangelism in theory and practice and the groups who are sharing their faith the most. Also, that when they asked, do you have a personal responsibility to share your faith with others, 73% of practicing Christians said yes, 73%. When this conviction is put into practice, however, the numbers shift downward, and only half, that's 52%, of practicing Christians say they actually did share the gospel at least once this past year to someone with different beliefs in the hope that they might accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so within that framework, the Barna Group broke it down into different denominations and different church groups. And this is what they came up with. First of all, again, the question was, during the last 12 months, I explained my religious beliefs to someone who had different beliefs and hoped that they might accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Evangelicals, 69% of them said yes to that question. Mainline denominations, 42%. Non-mainline, 59%. Overall Protestants, 54%. And Catholics were the lowest group to answer that question in the affirmative, 33%. Then the second question they asked was, I personally have a responsibility to tell other people about my religious beliefs. The evangelicals on paper said 100% said yes. Mainline, 54%. Non-mainline, 71%, Catholic, 34%, and Protestant, 64%.
So, Peter, it sounds like we have our work cut out for us, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, when Jesus gave the command to his disciples, known as the Great Commission, he laid out for us what we're supposed to do. So, can you take us into that a little bit, and what is our mission to the world?
Okay, so I want to read the Great Commission. And it's been called that for centuries, and present this as kind of like the direction that we want to go into in our next several broadcasts, opening it up today. So it says this in verse 18, Jesus came and said to the disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age. So, first of all, I think it's very important to point out, Leslie, that there's a vital connection Jesus makes in the Great Commission between evangelization and discipleship. I would say they're like two lungs of a healthy, breathing, alive individual Catholic Christian and Catholic parish. Evangelization, if you think about it, without discipleship, produces believers that can feel isolated, unaware of their giftedness and placement in the Lord's body, and also and basically not connected. But if you've got discipleship without evangelization, a lot of times that produces kind of like an inner elitism, an ingrownness and stagnancy in individuals and churches, and a slow but steady loss of joy and enthusiasm for the things of God. So these two things go together beautifully.
This reminds me of the analogy that we learned several years ago about the Dead Sea in Israel, which we actually had the privilege of visiting several years ago, that some of us can become stagnant, like the Dead Sea, always taking in, but never giving out. And you know, the Dead Sea has water flowing into it, but it actually has no outlets, which is why it is so rich in resources and minerals, and you can float on it, but nothing can live in it. This is a great metaphor for what happens when we have discipleship in our parishes without evangelization. We are supposed to be centers through which Jesus can flow as a river of living water and become a blessing to everyone.
Yeah, I really like that analogy, Leslie. And we remember when we were there, there's all kinds of cosmetic companies that were there advertising their wares and everything that brought out of it, but again, realizing that nothing living is in the Dead Sea. I believe that when Jesus gave this great commission to the disciples, he put both dynamics, evangelization and discipleship, within this command. There's one other aspect to this great commission, Leslie, that we need to discuss as we introduce the Lord's mission statement to our listeners. Is this great commission for the apostles only? Is it for my priest, or is it for me? I think it'd be profitable for us to really look into this. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great question, because I think we automatically think it was just for the apostles or our parish priest. But can you expand on this for us? Who was Jesus actually addressing the Great Commission to?
So if I believe that this powerful message is not for me personally, then it seems that we are left with the discouraging statistics that we in the Western Catholic Church are dealing with that I referred to earlier. If, on the other hand, Leslie, if Catholic believers begin to own this Grace Commission, I mean really own it, internalize it, and personalize it, I would say watch out, a biblical renaissance is about ready to take place. A general overview of these scriptures shows that there's four things Jesus told the disciples to do. There's four action words in that Great Commission. Number one, to go. Number two, make disciples. Third, baptize them. And fourth, teach them to obey Jesus' command. But Leslie, it all starts with the go. Going gets everything in motion. About 4 years ago, you and I attended a speaking engagement that featured George Weigel, a well-known thought leader in the Catholic Church, and Pope St. John Paul II's biographer. Do you remember that?
Yes, it was great.
Okay, so Mr. Weigel told the story of driving into a parking lot of a very large evangelical congregation in Dallas, Texas. When he turned around to leave the parking lot, he was greeted with a sign that said, "You are now entering mission territory." Leslie, wouldn't it be great and wonderful if we could see that mentality formed into our Catholic brothers and sisters, including ourselves? For sure, it would create a powerful headwind for the church to move forward in the rebuilding process.
I totally agree, Peter. And now it's time for us to take another break. And when we return, we will address the question Peter asked us early. Is this Great Commission for the disciples, our parish priests, or for me?
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a voice for the church that's seldom heard in our chaotic world. We're confirmation for the strong of faith and encouragement and answers for those in doubt. We're there to rejoice with your triumphs and to be a voice of consolation through the dark times. We're a voice for vocations and proudly pro-life. We are Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are discussing the mission statement of the church. We call it the Great Commission. And Peter's taking us into mission territory. And before the break, we were considering if the Great Commission commanded to the apostles before Jesus ascended into heaven was for them only. Is it for our parish priests, or is it for us as individuals? Peter, this seems to be an especially important consideration. Why is this such an important issue to you?
So, Leslie, I would say that this is, to use a word, this is a watershed issue. And if we look at the New Testament as a whole, we're going to find our answer. So let's think of some things in the New Testament together. How did the early Christians obey the Great Commission? So the gospel spread quickly, didn't it, throughout the world?
Yes,
The known world, as the apostles followed Jesus' command to go. Of course, St. Paul is such a prototypical person that went, took that word to go literally. But what about the second generation of Christians that we see propping up as a result of the apostles and St. Paul's preaching? Did they go too? So St. Paul tells the Corinthians to share what he called the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5, he talks to them about this message of reconciliation that all Christians are tasked with sharing. Listen to Paul's words. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God was making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul's telling the Corinthian church that they too are Christ's ambassadors in the world and that they're all called to share the gospel. So you and I are ambassadors, Leslie, and we want to really spread that good news to others, that we have a real clear identity from that the Lord's given us. There's one more example that I think is noteworthy. After the stoning of Saint Stephen, a great persecution erupted, and I'd like to read to you what happened right after Stephen was stoned. We've visited this scripture before when we looked at Saul was looking on at this time as well. So in Acts 8:1, listen to what happens. And on that day, that's when Stephen was stoned, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region, in Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostles weren't scattered. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul laid waste the church and entered house after house and dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Okay, so those that were scattered as a result of the preaching, they just didn't go and hide in caves. They saw this as an opportunity to go and preach. So the apostles didn't go, they stayed, okay? But the ones who were persecuted, the lay people, is inferred, went out and they preached.
Well, it's pretty clear from the epistle, 2 Corinthians 5:18, in this section in Acts, that we are called to be ambassadors and we are called to go with the Great Commission. And that includes his first disciples, it includes the clergy, it includes the consecrated religious, and you and me. So there are some groups right now, renewal groups, that have heard the go, they've heard the Great Commission, and they're really embracing the Great Commission. Can you provide us some examples of how a renewal group is embracing the Great Commission in a fresh way?
So there's some lay apostolates that have been raised up in the last even 10 years that are focusing on going and going to evangelize. And one group I'd like to make note of, because I've been a part of this group, is St. Paul Evangelization Institute. They really have a couple apostolates underneath that umbrella, and one is the St. Paul Street Evangelization. And I had a great experience with St. Paul Street Evangelization when we had a meeting in Detroit of the different leaders from around the country. And we were at Sacred Heart Theological Seminary during the day for great teaching by some of the professors at Sacred Heart. And then in the evening, we'd go out and evangelize. And we went in downtown Detroit, and we were in front of a Catholic church, because kind of a base, and then we all went out in teams of two. And this was right in the heart of the city of Detroit. And right across the street from the church was a casino. And so me and my partner said, well, why don't we go plant ourselves in front of the casino and see what the Holy Spirit will open up for us? So we went outside across the street to the casino. And there we just started praying. And a couple of minutes after we were standing there, a lady dressed very nicely with a little three-year-old beautiful little girl came out. And we just went up to her and said, hey, is there anything that we can pray for you on? And she said, well, that's amazing. She said, I just went into the casino and spent my last dollars to try to win money because my rent is due and I have no money. Yes, would you please pray for me? So we got to share some things about the faith, and she seemed like that she had a Christian witness in her life. Little girl was so precious, and we held hands and prayed for a miracle. But that's again an apostle in an organization that has received that message about the go.
And evangelization teams can actually use some of their materials and experience some of their training as well as they're getting ready to go and embrace the Great Commission as well. Is that right, Peter?
That's exactly right. So let me again reiterate those four commands, Leslie, in the Great Commission, because we're going to be really expanding on these things in the days ahead. First, we're called to go. That does not mean, Leslie, that we need to go to a foreign country or grab a bullhorn and go downtown. Jesus tells us to go to all nations in the English translation, which could better be translated the Greek word ethne to people groups. And we're going to explore and help people find their people groups. Secondly, Jesus said, again, make disciples. This is why we say that evangelization and discipleship are the two lungs of the commission. More about discipleship in the upcoming broadcast. We're going to talk a lot about that also. Then third, Jesus said to baptize. Baptism is no small issue, right? We love the Catholic and the ancient model of the Catholic, of the catechumenate and the RCIA, and that's been something that's been close to our heart over the last several years, is seeing people journey through the RCIA. And that fulfills that third aspect of baptizing. And then fourthly, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all, with the emphasis, as he emphasizes all, that the Lord commanded the apostles.
Peter, these four commandments are so important to our calling to rebuild the Lord's church. And I believe if we don't prioritize this in both our individual as well as parish life, we're going to miss the harvest. And we're going to be on the sidelines. And we won't have the opportunity to engage the individuals out there in the harvest that are helpless and harassed, like we learned a few weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, again, Leslie, next week, we'll continue to unpack this Great Commission and learn how to practically apply it to our personal lives and parishes. And also, we'll look forward into the coming weeks of bringing people here to the broadcast that are living both the goal of evangelization and the formation of discipleship that Jesus taught us in the Great Commission. Thanks for joining us, everyone. It's a privilege to be with you. We call you friends as you join together with us, and we look forward to the weeks ahead where we can share on this Great Commission. God bless.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.